The first reading is from Joel chapter 2 as follows. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. A day of darkness and gloom. A day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness spread upon the mountains, a great and powerful army comes. Their like has never been from of old, nor will it be again after them in ages to come. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent, and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the aged, gather the children, even infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room, and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep. Then let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? The word of the Lord. The second reading, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors, and yet are true, as unknown, and yet are well known, as dying, and see, we are alive, as punished, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing everything. The word of the Lord.
Our gospel this Ash Wednesday comes from the Gospel of Matthew in the 6th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal, like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. We can't do it alone. If there's one thing that comes through in our text this Ash Wednesday, I really do think it's this truth. We can't do it alone. The prophet Joel gives us an image of an angry God whose mercy we must beg for, and even then it is God who chooses whether or not God will relent from the violence promised to the people of Judah. The people of Judah have little, if anything, to do with it. And in our reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, Paul reminds us that God is the one who brings us salvation, the one who through Jesus Christ grants us righteousness. And in our gospel, we hear Jesus remind us to be humble in our piety. We are to pray in secret. We are not to sound the trumpet when we do good deeds or offer alms, because these acts don't save us. The Father who sees in secret does. And where our treasure is, there our heart also is. We hear these things. We know in our hearts that it is true, especially when we encounter again the reality of our own mortality through dust and ash. We can't do it alone. Frankly, we can't do it at all. Our salvation is not our own doing. It is completely and truly beyond us. So if this is the case and our salvation is beyond us, what's the point of doing any of this? I mean, I don't know about you, but I figured that if I started serving God, I'd get some sort of extra credit, right? Isn't that how this entire thing is supposed to work? You do good and God blesses you. You do bad, God punishes you. But that's not God. Not really. It's what we call a holy vending machine. You get out what you put in. But God is not beholden to us. We are beholden to God. Everything that we are and all that we have is truly reliant on God and God's grace. This morning I came across a quote by Daniel Emery Price, a pastor in a different Lutheran tradition. He reminds us that Christianity isn't for the little engine that can. It's for the train wreck that can't. It's a sobering thought that we are in some ways a train wreck, that we are all dust, and to dust we shall return. It's sobering to know that there isn't a right formula that will gain us that extra credit, that there's no puzzle to put together to gain God's grace. We aren't successful with just a little more hard work or think I can spirit. When I think about Ash Wednesday and the journey that we are about to embark on, I realize how truly helpless we are. We can't do it. We can't do it, but God can. Christ Jesus, the one who suffered for our sakes, can. When we can no longer hope in our own ability to save us, we can hope in a God that has already done the saving for us. It is for this reason that we are invited to act humbly in our relationship with God. When our relationship with God, God's very saving nature, has nothing to do with us, what right do we have to boast? What right do we have to sound trumpets before us to express our own greatness? To do so would only further prove the words of Paul. We are treated as imposters, and yet are true. The steadfastness of God's love sees us through these moments. If I'm being cynical, though, which those of you who know me well is quite likely, I begin to realize that the ideal that Christ has put before us to not practice our piety before others is quite literally impossible for people of faith. We come together for worship. We pray together. We see how one another acts when we come toward the altar, when we pray both silently and aloud. And if we take our gospel reading literally, wouldn't that make our community worship unworthy of God's honor? I guess we need to ask the question, why are we gathered here today? Why is it that we've come on a Wednesday to remind ourselves of our own failings and our own mortality? Frankly, I'm not doing this for my health. I'm not doing this for my credit. If I wanted to feel like dirt, I'd watch last year's baseball national championship series on repeat. That's where the Cubs got swept by the Mets, by the way, if you can't remember. It was painful. But we come here because this is where we find our center. Not at Wrigley Field. This is where we find the core of who we are. We are dust. But we're not just dust. We are also servants of God. We are ones who have been reconciled to God through the power of the climax of our Lenten journey together, the cross of Christ. And if we are reconciled to God through Christ, then we are indeed ambassadors for Christ. It is through us that God is still made known to all the world. So we come here today, not because we have it all together, not because we are so great, but we come to remind ourselves who we are, and more importantly, who has given us a mission in this place. We are dust. We gather as dust. But we are God's. And if we are God's, then we are ambassadors proclaiming that if we are all dust, then we are God's dust. And that really isn't all that bad of a state to be in. This Lenten season, may we all recall the truth of our origin, that we came from dust, that we will return to dust. But the dust does not have the final word. We don't have the final word. God does. And God has declared that the dust that we have been formed from is holy through Jesus Christ. And if we have been made holy, then our actions, when guided by the Holy Spirit, remain consistent reminders of the grace that we know, grace found in Jesus Christ. Grace we are reminded of in this place, and grace that expands out from here to all whom we encounter as Christ's humble ambassadors for the world. May our Lenten journey be one in which the dust that we are gives life and hope to our world. Amen.